Welcome to Sundown, a podcast about art, guns, a hurricane, and the challenges of honest communication. From the heart of the Catskill Mountains in New York, our hosts, Keiko Sono and Olivia Minadasi, navigate through the complex psychology and emotions between a gun store owner and a contemporary artist as they form an unlikely collaboration to install a public artwork. We hope that Keiko's deep dive into her own mistakes and her effort to embrace them inspires you and reminds you that honesty rewards those who don't give up on it.
Don Ryan is a musician and a photographer, and Victoria Blaze is a visual artist. These are the couple who spend weekends in a house across the road from Paul's store and found out about Chris's installation through Instagram and joined us at the reception. After talking to both Paul and Chris, it was clear that the project was done, but without a real sense of closure. It might not have been a failure, but it felt like one. I was looking for a way to conclude this in some way and thought about Don and Victoria. They would provide a perfect third-person perspective.
We brought an extra beer in case you would like one.
I would love one.
Okay, oh, here you go. We do have more, so feel free.
Thank you.
I found out about it just because I follow a lot of like Sundown tags on Instagram. And I'm always just posting photography. Like, I don't know what I'm doing with photography, but I just post whatever. And this just kind of kept popping up where, like, at first I didn't know what it was. And then it became more clear, like, oh, well, right across the street from where we stay in Sundown, in this, I mean, incredibly remote spot in the Catskills, there's going to be an art exhibit. And so I was like, okay, I'm all over this. I'm immediately checking it out and I'm following it and listening to the podcast. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. This is going down across the street at that little store. And so, yeah, that's how I found out about it. Mm-hmm. And then even that very day, we were just kind of taking a walk. Like, and I knew it was going to be showed that weekend, but like we just happened to be taking a walk down the opposite way and quite literally like stumbled upon it over here, like thinking, I wonder what's going on, if there's like people over there. And it was like, oh wow, there's a bunch of people hanging out and there's this piece and it's really cool.
Do you know Paul too, the store owner?
Yeah, we know. I mean, like, we've stopped in a few times, and like more recently, since the event of the unveiling of this, we hung out and spoke with Paul and Barb for, you know, a good hour, just talking about music and art and all this stuff. And yeah, it was really cool. So like, we're kind of getting to know them actually through this whole event.
Yeah, and to see that there's a general store right across the street is, that's wonderful. And to see that there is an art piece, an art installation, was quite amazing to us.
What I thought was really interesting about, like, when I first happened upon it, what I thought was really interesting about it was that you just have, like, I just imagined, like, this, like, King of the Hill episode, where you have, like, you know, these two kinds of groups that seem very disparate, where it's like, you know, the store that sells like bullets and ammo, right? Like they sell like guns and gun accessories, right? Like kind of like Hank Hill propane and propane accessories, like meeting with a bunch of artists who are like, and so you got like people who are stereotypically like antithetical, but like, when everybody came together, that's not how it felt at all. It's just like, it quite frankly reminded me, especially when we got here the day of the event, it reminded me of the days prior to social media and like the stratification of everything, where it's like, oh yeah, I remember like when people were just people and we didn't just think about like, I wonder what this person's politics are.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like that. Yeah.
When we were hanging out with Paul and Barb, they were saying to us like, so we heard like you guys like totally get this, like you understood this, because they were like, we're not sure like what to make of this, and I was like, I don't think there's any one thing to get. Like I looked at it just like, as this is, you know, almost limitlessly interpretable. Like you can kind of look at this in so many different ways. What particularly struck me was there's a piece, like when you go behind the, there's this little sweater, this little shirt that says Daddy's Little Girl. And like that hit me, because I just thought, imagine, you know, being a father and you know this impending storm is headed your way, and you know you're looking at this item that you have sentimental value, that you're sentimentally attached to, and you're going to sacrifice it to save your daughter and your family, and there are all kinds of just cool things like that. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
the Crown Royale, that's that, isn't that some kind of liquor,
right? Yeah,
right.
Whiskey,
expensive, yeah. Whiskey, you know, that, you know, it's like sacrificing all of these and saving all of these items, like, oh, I need to keep this because it's a very expensive, you know, item and it might be worth something. Oh, but there's a storm, so we're gonna use it for this, and we're just gonna sacrifice these items. And I particularly like the use of the water bottles as well, because it also kind of like conveys the waste of plastic and a lot of pollution and pollution causing all these storms as well. There's also kind of a connection there. And
it's funny, I interpreted it a little differently. Like, I looked at the water bottles as usually being filled with life nourishing water, and now being used to block
water
that could kill you, you
right.
know, like the, like being blocking
True.
This potential storm. And it was interesting when we were talking to Chris about it. It seemed like a lot of our, just like our intuitions were like, he was like, yeah, right. Yeah. That's what I had in mind, which was really cool. Like,
yeah. And, oh, the bullets, too.
The bullets.
The bullets.
That
and
is
I,
so cool.
When we spoke to him, what did he say? I forget exactly, but he just thought they were kind of cool. Like, I'm just going to stick them in there. But it definitely invokes, like, that's like violence.
Well, yeah.
You know, like,
and to me, again, that kind of fit this
good
theme.
Good symbolism.
It kind of fit this theme that I was going with, which is like bullets, which they're interesting because they're like morally ambiguous. Like, they, you know, it's like they are life saving in one respect. Like, you can hunt for your family, and you know that on the one hand, right? Or they are also bringers of death. So like, you're taking these items that could be perceived as either or and sticking them in this pile against a deadly storm.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they have value outside of a pile that is, you know, intended to block to block a storm of death coming your way.
Olivia, they like the bullets.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that there were people that noticed them, because I know that when you talked to Paul, he felt that they were kind of hard to find and he didn't really see the connection to them. But I really liked the meaning that Don and Victoria kind of derived from seeing them in the piece. I thought it was really interesting and I didn't really think about that before. But I feel like it's so, like, that just shows how amazing other people's perspectives can be, like, and how different it can be.
I'm kind of from this postmodern school of, like, meaning itself in art is somewhat overrated, where I just kind of, I mean, some things obviously are just what they mean. Like, sometimes you don't need to read deeply into some things, and that's fine. Like, you know, like Van Halen ain't talking about love. Like, he ain't talking about love. Like, that's you don't have to, like, you can go and read some Michel Foucault and, like, throw that in there, but you don't need to do that with Van Halen. Like, it's just, he ain't talking about love. But, like, this kind of stuff, it's like, I like that meaning here is elastic. And so I felt kind of simpatico with this, like, you know, with my own music and my own art and just my own.
Me too.
Yeah. Her the same way. She's
a visual artist. Yes, I definitely. I've had pieces where I didn't know where they were going, and, you know, until it was finished. And, you know, and some people will criticize that, you know, they say, well, why you didn't have a meaning, you just put this together. But there's a process. Everybody has a process of making art. And sometimes you find out, like, what it means to you and what it means to everybody else, you know, when it's finished. I think that's, everybody has their own perspective. And that's, like, the most important thing. Like, we could bring somebody off the road and look at this, and they'll have their totally different perspective of this. You know, like, who knows what they would say.
And on top of it, honestly, I just thought it looked so cool.
Yeah, it's definitely aesthetically pleasing. It's a hidden little gem inside of there. And there's a lot of those. Like, he was pointing out Daddy's Little Girl. A lot of little hidden items in this piece.
So this is the essence of Chris's work. It looks cool. You just can't explain it. You know, when you see Chris's work, a lot of them, it's like, what is this? You know, but it's just so, it's very engaging. You know, it looks cool.
Yeah, I really wish I was able to see this piece or any of his pieces in real life, so I could really just, like, walk around and take it all in and look for all of the little details. I feel like sometimes pictures of artwork, especially sculptures, like, kind of those dynamic, like, interactive sculptures, it's hard to get the full experience from them, from just pictures. I feel like it kind of flattens it out.
It was kind of interesting, like, because at first I remember coming here a few years ago and seeing the signs and just generally being in a very remote place where you're not used to being, it can kind of just freak you out a little bit. But, like, then talk to Paul and Barb, and then, like, suddenly it's just like, oh, okay.
It's a world of difference.
It's a, right. Like,
totally. Yeah, they were so nice and not intimidating at all.
Barb and I loved it. Like, Barb and I talked about music for hours.
Yes,
like,
they bonded.
We bonded over, like, we bonded over the strangest stuff, like, you know, because, like, I have eclectic music tastes, and, like, so, like my favorite artists on earth are, like, Elliott Smith and Pantera. Like, so, like, it's just this from all over the place, you know, like, Nina Simone somewhere in there, and like, Billie Holiday. And so, like,
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard, yeah, actually. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was actually what Barb and I started talking about, because Def Leppard was like my kings. Like when I was in second grade, I went from a Debbie Gibson phase, right? So I was like 7 years old, right to a Def Leppard, and then I graduated to Guns N' Roses. And then the year after that, my dad bought me Metallica's And Justice for All record, which scared the living daylights out of me. Like, it was under the Christmas tree, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Why are these songs 9 minutes long, and why is this man so angry? And and then these became, like, my favorite bands, like Metallica and then Pantera, and, like, but it branched out to all sorts of different things, and the music that I play is more folk-based and that sort of thing. So, like, I'm having dual conversations at the event with... I'm talking to Chris on my right about Elliott Smith and Barb on my left about... Def Leppard and Crocus and all of these like 80s bands, and it was just, for me personally, it was like, this is like exactly what I hope this whole thing would be like. Yeah. My God, like, this is bringing together like every walk of life that I would love to hang out with.
Yeah, and it's politics aside, you know, it's when you talk to people off social media, and then you see, like, oh, we actually have the, like, things in common, we can be human beings with each other,
right?
And you find out that you, like, guys had a lot in common. I was so surprised, and it's just a great place.
When I finished recording this, I couldn't believe what had just happened. What I was hearing was everything I wanted to hear about this project and more. These goals might not have happened with Chris and Paul or with the rest of the community, but by total coincidence, this project changed this couple's connection with Paul and Barbara. And then they came away with all the artistic gifts Chris's work had to offer. So if those were the only people that were positively touched by what we did, then maybe it wasn't a failure.
Yeah. And like, even though things didn't end up how you originally envisioned, I feel like this conversation with Donna Vittoria proved that there's still much to be talked about beyond that. Like, it wasn't really a total loss. And there was, I think, a lot of richness that came out of this whole process and this whole story. And like, I think that showed in their like honest feedback from everything.
This is why I wanted to finish this podcast. I wanted Chris and Paul to hear what Don and Victoria said. I regret it took 2 years because of many obstacles, but I'm so happy to be finally publishing this. You know, the reason it took so long to finish this was because I could not go back to these recordings and listen to them again. I just couldn't really, you know, I just had this kind of knot in my stomach. But having you as an intern in a separate podcast last year gave me this idea to work with you on this. And you showed a lot of interest in these recordings, and you made it a lot easier for me to go back to these recordings. Like, I didn't really have to be afraid anymore, because there's this one, another person who's giving me this perspective. And I really didn't expect that, you know, like this, I really did not see this coming. And I'm really, really thankful for this wonderful, again, you know, serendipity.
Yeah, no, thank you for even allowing me this opportunity. I'm glad that I was able to sort of dive into this other story. I feel like I learned a lot from it. I feel like there's a lot that other people can learn from it and discuss from it. And I feel like even though there was some miscommunications in this original process, I feel like there's still a lot of conversations that can be sparked by this overall finished product. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
bright's faded, it's a color death. The devil made us sick, and you know why. Borrowing dead rebellion, oh, worshiping the nameless sky. Flock to the colors of the worms of excess, shaming the moonlight. Who am I? It's a secondhand madness for us, a high cost of low living, a Potemkin life. Such a cellophane incrimination. The mother of murder waits up in the sky, and you know why. Fell in love with the devil so calmly, we never failed to fail this life of fire. So I took the shape of a shadow and the memory of a night of knives. Such a cellophane incrimination. The mother of murder waits up in the sky, given to the flames of such an intimidation. So once before a sundown celebration, come, so come, come, so come. Got a little for a lot in life, and sold it for a song. No surprise. Revulsion, revelation of a stillborn God. His line, no, it won't last long, and you know why.
Thank you for listening to Sundown. Sundown is a production of Forge Collective, a platform for co-creating stories of the future we want to envision. For more information and photos of Chris's work and our project, visit forgeartcollective.org. Many thanks to Chris Victor, Paul and Barbara Natu, and Don Ryan and Victoria Blade for their participation, and to John Notar for the theme music. This project was made possible in part with funds from the statewide Community Regrants Program, a regrant program of the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the Office of Governor Hochul and the New York State Legislature, and administered by Arts Mid-Hudson.